right, thank you. Allegiance, led by Pam Finnesand, and words of inspiration by Rick Godfellow, otherwise known as Rick Benjamin.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let's pray. Loving God, thank you for this beautiful summer we had. Thank you for the change of seasons. Reminds us of you and how faithful you are. Thank you for all the blessings of living in Alaska, being healthy, having family and friends and employment. Thanks for the blessing of being in Rotary. Thanks for the gift of the food today and the fellowship here. Ask for your blessing on the program, the speaker, and all the good purposes that we share. We're thankful so much. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Rick. Hey, please be seated. Okay, I'd like to thank the team captains for this month who do a great job of keeping things moving. Okay, holding up. I see one over there, Michael Browder and Gwen Lee. They're over there. Thank you, guys. Doing a good job. Thanks for that. The greeters, Abdullah Raswala, Lance Wilbur, and Gloria Castaneda. Introducing visiting Rotarians and guest will be, if I see her, Eleanor Andrews. Where's Eleanor? Is she here? Eleanor is not here. Dave?
Jeff.
Yeah,
Jeff
is going to do the
honors. Thank you, Jeff.
I am standing in for Eleanor Andrews today. Anchorage Downtown Rotary. Jeff Clark Philanthropy.
Jeff.
Peggy Spindler Trucking. From out of town Rotary, Cliff Baker, all the way from beautiful downtown Soldotna. He's a surveyor. And then, back again from downtown, is Bill Odom, Beverage Distribution.
Hey, Bill, how are you?
And then back from out of town again, Ellen Kendall, Steamboat Springs, Colorado, a management consultant. And that's all, President Rick.
Right.
Well, Steamboat Springs. Are you from, you're from Steamboat? It's a great little town. I was there. Actually, I lived in Colorado all my life, and I kind of bypassed Steamboat. I went around it. But last week, 2 weeks ago, I was there for the first time doing a wedding at the Steamboat Grand Hotel, and it was wonderful. It was just a great time. So, beautiful city. Welcome to Anchorage. Okay, introduction to the head table. Now, every week, as you know, I ask a question. And the question today is... The question today is, what was your favorite song to dance to when you're in junior high? What was your favorite dancing song in junior high? So you guys can all think about that for a second. Everybody can think. So your favorite song to dance to in junior high. Okay. Okay, now here are the answers. The first person at the head table to your far left is Lance Wilbur. And this will tell you a lot about these guys and gals. His favorite song to dance to was Super Freak by Rick James. Super Freak. Who said yeah? Who even knows what that is? No, yeah. Okay, good. Okay. Chris Birch. Chris Birch, a little closer to my age than Lance. He's talking my language. His favorite song to dance to in the seventh grade was I Want to Hold Your Hand by the Beatles. There he goes. He's right there. Now, Rick Benjamin, and this doesn't surprise me.
What?
No, this is your song. It doesn't surprise me.
But he couldn't
dance, but he could sing. His favorite song was Spirit in the Sky by Norman Greenbaum. Isn't that nice? That's good, Rick. That's what I would expect. Okay, now our guest speaker off to my far left, Steve Gunderson, who's our guest speaker. His favorite song was Blowing in the Wind with Peter, Paul, and Mary. And actually, no, it's not a dance song, you're right, but I left that out when I asked you about that. Yeah, well, it's not a dance song, sort of a protest song. I actually had a chance to sing with them, but Peter, Paul, Mary, and Rick was too long, so they didn't go with that. So anyway, the next one, Jeff Clark, his favorite song is to dance to was Rock and Roll Hoochie Coochie. No, Hoochie Coo. Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo by Rick Derringer. How many people have heard of Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo? Oh, man. I'm too old. You know, okay. My favorite song, it was a tight between Rock Around the Clock by Bill Haley and the Comets, because it was fun to dance to, and Love Me Tender by Elvis, which was fun for different reasons for a young junior high kid. So those are my two songs. Okay, that's our head table. Let's give them a round of applause. Okay, don't forget the yellow cups for our exchange students. If you'd put a buck or two in now, that'd be great. And Dave, we're going to have to move fairly fast.
Okay. Yeah, Rick, we have one more visiting Rotarian from the downtown Rotary, Mead Treadwell, Venture Capital. And we are looking for happy bucks, proud dollars. So I'm just going to kind of just... Okay.
For the social club meeting, which was a catered luncheon at the Captain Cook, I highly recommend the social club committee, the social committee.
Yeah, Rochelle does a phenomenal job of our social chair, no question about it.
President Rick, Sergeant Members Dave, fellow Rotarians, Dave Kester here. Community service, our next mobile food distribution is a week from this Saturday, which is the 10th. So you'll see sign-up sheets on your tables. Please do sign up so we make sure we have enough people. And we generally do. Thank you, Craig, for jumping right on the spot. So follow Craig's lead and sign up right now. Thanks.
Thanks, Dave. Hey, Jeff, what's this club doing in here? Oh, that's yours? Oh, he just got knocked in the eye. Sorry about that, Dave. Any more? Oh, Diane.
I have to give you an IOU.
That's fine.
President Rick, fellow Rotarians, my name is Diana Struck, and I wanted to give you an update on Amber Batarai, who spoke to the club, the gentleman from Bhutan. If you saw yesterday's paper, you saw on the front a picture of some Bhutanese celebrating a feast that Amber, when he spoke to us, said that they were not allowed to celebrate in Bhutan. And so he helped organize 15 families here in Anchorage, and they had a wonderful celebration on Monday. And if you go to ADN.com and you click on that photo, you will see I think it's 15 slides show, and Amber's narrating it. So check it out. Thank you.
Thanks, Diane.
President Rick, Sergeant Nurse Dave, Clay Hightower. I have a guest today. Her name is Shirley Nelson, and she's a reading and writing instructor, and she owns Blue Sky Reading. Shirley Nelson.
Thank you, Clay.
Thank you, Clay.
Welcome, Shirley.
Thank you. President Rick, fellow Rotarians, my name is Karen Smith. Happy $5 because I had a long girls' weekend in Texas, and all my children were alive and well. And speaking of, I have my youngest daughter, Megan, and my oldest, Ashley, with me today.
I love kids.
President Rick and fellow Rotarians, I'm Bobby Olson, and I have a message from Rochelle Edelin. she would like to thank all 18 or 19 of the social committee members who attended her free lunch. Guess why? But anyway, we had a very productive lunch, and she thanked you all for your time. And we all know how generous Rochelle and the hotel Captain Cook have been to our club, and I would ask that each of you be generous in positive thoughts for her today, because she had just put her parents on an airplane for a vacation, and when they landed, her father had a seizure. So she is waiting by the phone to hear more news from her mother. So anyway, please think of Rochelle and send good positive energy her way. Thank you.
Thanks, Bobby.
President Rick and fellow Rotarians, I'm Charlotte Tharp, and I'm your foundation chair this year. I have two messages or announcements. One is, please save the date for the foundation auction. It will be November 18th in the evening at the Alaska Heritage for Alaska Aviation, thank you, Heritage Museum, and we'll have more details for you later. And then the second announcement is sort of a continuation of Rochelle's generosity and the Captain Cook's generosity. We're working with them to try to put together an event on October 30th that will be a combination social event with the proceeds going to Polio Plus.
Thank you, Charlotte.
Yeah, thank you, Charlotte. Susan.
President Rick and fellow Rotarians, I'm Suzanne Yak, and I'd like to introduce my visitor today, Jim Foster. This is his third or fourth time visiting our club, and his name is being put forward for membership. He is a battalion chief at the Anchorage Fire Department, and he is a champion for CPR Anywhere, and he's also a musician.
So, Jim, what instrument do you play?
Guitar.
I love the guitar. Okay. Working our way.
President Rick, fellow Rotarians, I have a check for my Rotary Foundation in honor of my mom. I've been out of town much of the last month. We have been in Idaho, where the little town I grew up in celebrated its 100th birthday. That sounds awfully long until I think about how old I was when I was, how old the town was when I was born there. Not much younger. My mother is 92, and so going and celebrating those becomes an important thing to do.
Thank you, Rosalie.
Yeah, thank you, Rosalie.
President Rick, fellow Rotarians, my name is Bob Schatz. I'd like to introduce two people to you at lunch today. First will be Pastor Daniel Bracken. Oh, stand up and say hi. Daniel comes from a long line of family membership in Rotary, and he's looking for a Rotary Club to join. And I want to make sure that everybody today makes sure he has an absolutely wonderful time and feels very welcome. So when it comes time for him to pick his Rotary Club, he picks Anchorage East Rotary.
Yeah.
So number two, well, you want the $5, don't you? There you go. All right. Number two is Tom Rappet. I knew I was going to get that wrong. Anyway, Tom is the youth pastor at the same church, and so we will now begin to apply subtle pressure to get him to join the club also. So with that never said, everybody make our guests welcome today. Thank you.
This is a great club. I hate to brag.
Yeah, bring them on.
President Rick, fellow Rotarians, Dave, I'm Heather Flynn, and I'm home. I traveled 6,437 miles. I attended 3 Rotary meetings, and I can say unequivocally that compared to our club, those were some of the most boring meetings I've ever been at.
You go, girl.
I've also spent about 3 days opening mail. I'm not through all of it yet, but one of the things I like to see is pictures and words about wonderful people in this club, and I sure won't read the whole thing, but this is about Sue Foley, who has just celebrated her 20th anniversary at First National Bank, and she was feted with a party themed a woman of many hats because of her knowledge of so many aspects of the bank. She's one terrific past president and wonderful member of this club.
You can say that again.
Thank you, Heather.
President Rick, fellow Rotarians, the Social Club has a question for you. What is going to happen on November 11th? What else is going to happen on November 11th? Veterans Day. All right, so we have a special offer. Free tickets for veterans. So, how many veterans are in this club? Raise your hand. All right, how many of you actually got honorable discharges? All right. You are entitled to a free ticket to the Opera Tolerators, whether you're a veteran or not. And Amy, you're active duty guard, right?
Yes.
All right. You're eligible for a free ticket. Anyone else who's active duty is eligible. You don't have to be a discharged veteran. Honorable discharged veteran, though. All right. So, to kind of get things under control, I need you to sign up here. I will get back to you with details. It's fairly complex. Whether you've ever been to an opera, you get one deal for that. But everybody gets a better deal than they would just going to the box office. November 11th falls on a Wednesday. Please sign up so I can get back with you.
Rick, that is awful nice. Thank you. You are the man.
President Rick, fellow Rotarians, I have my money today, so thanks for the contributions last time I was missing money. I know that Peggy Spittler signed in as a visiting Rotarian, but she's also filled out her paperwork to transfer over to this club, which I'm very excited about, so I just want to say welcome. Have everyone say welcome again to Peggy Spittler.
Michelle.
Thanks. President Rick, fellow Rotarians, today I have 10 bucks of gratitude, my ecstatic bucks again. I would like to extend a very heartfelt thank you to Rena Salazar and Paul McGuire, who have very graciously offered to step up and host Susanna during one of her exchange rotations here. So please, round of applause, please. Thank you. Thank you. But we are also still looking for yet one more, at least one more family to volunteer for a rotation. So if you know someone or you are someone who could do that, please let me know. Thanks.
Thanks, Michelle. Any more? Oh, Chuck, this ought to be good.
President Rick, fellow Rotarians, I'm Chuck Gunther. I have 20 heavy bucks. The countdown is on. 4 weeks from now, I am with the Gunther Chavez family is expecting the last addition to our family, hopefully. Lupe is doing in good spirits, doing well. She's weary, tired. She's ready to be over with. We have 4 weeks to go, so we keep us in your thoughts and prayers as we approach that deadline. And I may be here, may not be here for the next couple of weeks, who knows. But we're excited, and I'll report back to you.
That's good stuff. It's like the Fritos potato chips. You just can't stop at one, right?
Okay.
You know, Chuck, I've got a 14, a 21, a 28, a 32, a 34, 4 grandkids, 3 dogs. It's a black hole for my retirement. All right.
David, the no fine button is held by Barbara Kager.
Where's Barbara?
Barb's over that way.
There's Barb. She's got some good stuff to talk about.
Thank you. Thank you, Dave. President Rick, fellow Rotarians and friends, my name is Barbara Kagerer. My husband and I have the pleasure of owning a music store here in town on 10th and Ingra for many years, for 25 years actually, known as the Horn Doctor. We are adding a name, Alaska Music and Sound, to better reflect what we do. And today I want to talk about two of my passions. One is music education. And I've put a brochure on your tables called Keep Music Education Strong. And I invite you to please, thank you, Gloria, please take a look at one of those. Just have a look. It talks about the importance of keeping music education strong. And just a show of hands, how many of you in this room currently are not playing a musical instrument? Well, that's pretty good. Okay, now keep your hands up. Of those people with your hands up, how many wish they did? Oh, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Yeah, our industry statistics say that of the adults who are not currently playing musical instruments, 90% wish they did. Okay, so if those of you that had your hands up, if you wish you did play a musical instrument, I've also put one of my business cards on the table. Whatever instrument it is, whether you blow in it or pluck it or strum it or bang on it, come see me or give me a call because I can get you connected with the right people to teach you. President Rick, which instrument do you think you wish you would want to play?
Well, in junior high, I played the E-flat alto sax, but I'd kind of like to play the guitar now.
Good. Yeah, we could help you out with that. Okay, and the other thing, just real quickly, my other passion besides music education is the Rotary Foundation. And I have $100 for my Rotary Foundation because in honor of a week ago today, my mother-in-law passed away in Flint, Michigan, and she was a doll. She was just wonderful. As we were coming back in the airport last night, we went to her funeral over the weekend in Flint, and I ran into somebody I knew, and I said, she said, oh, man, that was a quick trip. I just saw you. And I said, yeah, you know, we went, my mother-in-law passed away. It wasn't the best of circumstances. And she said, oh, boy, I'd love it if my mother-in-law would pass away. And it was funny, but it just really dawned on me how fortunate I am to belong to so many loving families. You know, whether it's the Rotary family, my husband's family, my family, and how fortunate I am for that. So, in honor of Margaret Kager, 86 years old, who passed away last week, $100 to my Paul Harris. And lastly, because I love the foundation so much, I have two $50 gift certificates to our store. So, another incentive to come by. For the first two people who say, I will donate $50 to my Paul Harris Fellowship, I will give you a gift certificate for $50 to the Horn Doctor. Oh. Okay, tell you what. I only have two today, but I'll do two more. Okay, I got one, two, three. Anybody else? $50? There you go, four. Okay, thank you very much. It's been a great month for the Horn Doctor, Alaska Music and Sound. I highly recommend the No Find Button to anybody who's looking to promote themselves.
Thank you, whatever. Barbara.
Thank you.
Isn't Barbara wonderful?
Thank you, Barbara. That was a great presentation. You need to go out and get into the marketing business, Barbara, even more. It's great. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to auction off the No Find. But you know, when I was listening to Barbara, I was thinking that about everybody thinks they can sing, and I'm no different than anybody else. But about 20 years ago, I was out with our church group and with our choir, and we were having a hayride out to Earthquake Park and back, and we were singing all kinds of songs, and I was just loving it. And I was singing fairly close to a lady, and sitting fairly close to a lady in the choir. And we got back to the church, and she turned to me and she said, "Rick," she said, "I've never in my life known anybody who knows so many words and so few notes as you do." So that sort of brings you down to earth. Okay, we are going to auction off the No Find Button. If you can do as well as Barbara, that'd be great. I'll go ahead and do it myself real quickly. So, what do you say we start with the $50 bill? Who'll give me $50 bill? Not $50 bill. Not $75. Got a $50, $175, $175 over there. Not $100. Got a $75. Now, Greg, you're lifting your hand up, Greg Bledsoe. Are you bidding? $100. $100 here. Now $125. $125. Now $125. Got a $100 bill. Want a $125? What do you say? $125 here, Bobby. Now $150. $125 over there. Now $150. $150 right there. Now $75. $150 down here. Now what do you say? $75. Got a $150 here. Now say $75. Want a $75? $175, Bobby. $175. Now two. $175. Now two. What do you say? Two. Now got $175. Now two. Here we go. Going once for $175. Now twice for $175. Sold. Bobby Olson, $175. I didn't hear what you said, Bobby. Okay. Okay, you take care of that. Okay. Other quick things, I'd like to have a short 5-minute board meeting or 3-minute board meeting right after. We just have a new member to act on. And on your table is an event, that's just a flyer for the Gateway Club. Rich Dyson helped form that club, and they're having an Italian dinner. Mary and I are going, and we'd encourage you to take a look at that brochure and just join them for a $75 Italian dinner with money going to the foundation. And that is it. And now I'll introduce Jeff Clark, who will introduce the speaker. Jeff, I've known Jeff for quite a while. I was on the Rasmussen Foundation Board of Directors for a long time, and Jeff is one of the key staff people over there. He is currently vice president of the foundation, and he's a member of Downtown Rotary and a multiple Paul Harris Fellow. So, Jeff, do you want to come up and introduce our speaker, Jeff Clark?
Thank you, President Rick, and fellow Rotarians, it's a real pleasure to be here today. It's a great honor to have here with us today Steve Gunderson, who is the President and CEO of the Council on Foundations, which is a Washington, D.C.-based nonprofit membership association of approximately 2,000 grant-making foundations and corporations around the world. I think we all know that over the past year has been very, very difficult, and that every family, every village, every town, every city in the country, and every sector of our economy has been negatively impacted. And philanthropy is no exception. I think the cumulative losses in assets in the sector exceed $200 billion. And those were assets, of course, that foundations used to meet needs across the country and across the world. And today, at the Captain Cook Hotel, there are 150 foundations from around the country convened as the Environmental Grantmakers Association. They're here for the week, and they are one of the big topics that they're talking about is how has this last year impacted their ability to do the work that they find so important. And we're fortunate that Steve is here. He is just minutes removed from delivering the keynote plenary there, where he painted the big picture of what's happening, what has happened in the philanthropy sector over the last year, and what he foresees will happen in the current year. And I think that that's the perspective that Steve will share with us today. Here in this club, you do have one member of the Council on Foundations, Suzanne Yak, and the Alaska Community Foundation. But I'll tell you a little bit more about Steve. He's been with the council now for 4 years. And prior to joining the council as its president and CEO, he served 3 terms in the Wisconsin State Legislature. And from there, he went on to serve 16 years as congressman from Wisconsin, where he was a recognized leader on the issues of agriculture, education, employment, policy, health care, and human rights issues. When he retired in 96, he then became senior consultant and managing director of the Washington office of the Greystone Group, which is a strategic management consulting and communications firm. And Steve is consistently recognized for his key insight and analysis on national political issues of the day. And I think you're going to enjoy his perspective here today on what's happened in philanthropy. And I know that he is very familiar with Alaska, and he'll be able to draw some conclusions for us here. So please give a warm Rotary welcome to Steve Henderson.
Thank you very much, Jeff. I'm delighted to be with you, and I know full well that the most important thing in my presentation is to make sure I'm done by 5 to 1. Anything else doesn't really matter. I couldn't help but think here with, we've already lost one of the pastors, I was going to say, with two pastors in front of me, this is a wonderful opportunity to talk to them about time management. We had a great pastor at my church who did everything perfect except managed the length of his sermons. And you had to go to the early service if you had any hope of watching Sunday football, because the other services you would never make it. I'm going to take a little bit of time just to give you a sense of who I am, because I think that's as important as any message that I share with you. Born and raised in rural Wisconsin, I grew up attending a two-room country school. My parents forced me to go to the University of Wisconsin against my will, which was the best thing that ever happened to me, because I learned to meet new people and find it wasn't all that bad an experience. I went to the University of Wisconsin during the Vietnam War, and I learned what happens when you have people who, on the one hand, break windows in the name of peace, and on the other hand, believe the war is the greatest thing since sliced bread. And so I witnessed at an early age the polarization of America. And every Saturday we'd gather at Camp Randall Stadium to watch the Wisconsin Badger football team, which at that point wasn't very good. But I learned the healing, unifying role of sports in society. And so I decided I wanted to be a sports broadcaster. As a result of that, I went to broadcasting school after my university years, and while I was there, friends convinced me to run for the legislature. It was 1974. I was 23. I looked like I was 17. I shouldn't have won, and I did. So all of a sudden, do you serve or do you not? I decided to serve, and that literally began my career. Now, then I got elected in 1980, as Jeff said, to the U.S. Congress from western Wisconsin. It was the largest dairy production district in the United States. We had more dairy cows than we had people. And I love to tell people that, because I never had a nasty letter from a dairy cow. Not once. I was, by obvious mandate, chairman of the Dairy Livestock Poultry Committee in the U.S. Congress before I left. But my favorite story introduction of all due respect to Jeff's, was I was asked to speak to an FFA alumni banquet, which was the best invite you could get in a congressional district like mine. It was nonpartisan. Every grandmother and grandfather and parents and uncles and aunts and brothers were crammed into this gymnasium. It was in Clark County. The local farm broadcaster was the MC. He stood up and he said, you know, earlier this week, Steve was traveling through his congressional district. He spent some time in La Crosse, Wisconsin. He had some free time in an afternoon, so he went into the Holiday Inn. They had a holodome. Most of you remember what those holodomes were like. He said he went into the pool, but he was a country kid. He didn't know how to swim. Now, this is a true introduction. He said he gets into the water, he gets into the deep area, and he gets in trouble. Lucky for him, there are three young boys that are playing hooky from school. They're playing the pinball machines, and they hear all this commotion in the pool. They finally realize somebody's in trouble, so they jump in and pull him up. When Steve recovers, gets his breath back, he looks at these three young guys and he says, I don't know if you know this or not, but I'm your congressman. What can I do for you? Well, the first young kid says to me, you're really Mr. Gunderson? You don't look like it. Well, I didn't have a coat tie on, all that kind of stuff. You know, I had swimming trunks. He said, don't you have something to do with West Point? I said, yeah. I said, you graduate from high school, you apply, we consider those candidates, we can appoint you to West Point. He said, yeah, I'd really like to do that. Next kid said, I don't want to do that, I want to learn how to fly. Can you send me to the Air Force Academy? I said, same criteria. Get to the third young man, and he doesn't say a word. And I said, let me repeat, what can I do for you? You just saved my life. And he said, sir, do you have anything to say about who gets buried at Arlington Cemetery? And I went, whoa, here you are, 18 years old, you've got your entire life in front of you, your congressman wants to do whatever he can to help you, and your only request is, where can you be buried? I don't get it. And he said, well, sir, it's like this. He said, my mom and dad are dairy farmers, and as soon as they find out I saved your life, they're going to kill me. That's a true story, and I was introduced to 500 dairy farmers. I did more Rotarian speeches during my congressional career than you can count. I think, though, this is the first Rotary meeting where we haven't sung. Don't you guys sing?
No, not with me as president.
Ah, bet. All right. Well, I just had to check, see if, you know, protocol had changed or some way. As Jeff said, you know, we're all in a different way, in a different role, storytellers. I honestly chose, and Jeff used the word retire, and I'm sensitive about that, because when anybody says after 16 years they retire from Congress, everybody in the room says, there they go again, that congressional pension. Look at that. He even agrees with that. I chose to not seek re-election. I immediately got another job. I'm on Social Security like everybody else, okay? So I want to say I stood down, the British term, and I did that because I felt that it was time to do something else. But every one of us is a storyteller in our own right. I got out of Congress because I wanted to get off an airplane. And then all of a sudden one day, I was given the opportunity to become president and CEO of the Council on Foundations, which is the largest organization, as Jeff said, of foundations and corporate grant-making organizations in the United States. And I said, you know what? That's an opportunity that I simply can't say no to. I now am on airplanes four times as much as I ever was during my congressional career. But the message that I want to share with you is not a message about travel. The message that I want to share with you, if there's one thing I ask you to take home from this afternoon's brief comments, it is to understand the difference between charity and philanthropy. They're both incredibly good. Every Sunday, those of us who have a church of faith, every weekend, we give charitably to our church. Every one of us who has children, nieces, nephews, or neighbor kids, we give to their fundraisers. When we do that, we make a charitable gift. It's a gift of the heart. We never have any requirement for the return on the investment. We don't ask what the strategy is. We don't have a performance evaluation metrics. We give because we want to give, because it's part of the American value and it's a wonderful thing. But what I do today is I travel around the country and I lead an organization that talks about strategic investment in social change. Because that's what philanthropy is. Philanthropy is the conscious, strategic investment of your resources in achieving the common good or social change in your community. And there's no more perfect audience to do that than an audience like Rotarians, because you're engaged in the strategic investment of your community in making change. Now, Jeff told you that we've undergone, like the rest of the economy, an incredible challenge over the last year and a half. I was literally 4 years ago tomorrow, my first day as president and CEO of the Council on Foundations. And at the time I said, you know what, no matter how bad I am, I will preside over the greatest growth of philanthropy in world history. And that was true. Then all of a sudden, we had the economic crisis, and I had to tell people, no matter how good I am, I'm going to preside over the greatest collapse of philanthropic resources in world history, because, as Jeff said, we lost over $200 billion. And philanthropy found itself, like every community did, with less resources and greater need than we've ever faced before. And we had to ask ourselves, how do we make the decisions and we make the priorities going forward, by foundation to foundation? Now, where that becomes important to each and every one of you is to understand that while we faced that challenge in the past, that cannot define who we are in the future. Think 2014. And I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat, liberal or conservative, this is not about politics. But by 2014, we will undergo a significant economic and demographic transition in this country. First of all, the economy will clearly have recovered. It's already beginning that process. Second, there will be a major revision of the tax policy in this country. Most of the Bush tax cuts will simply have expired. Third, we will have a permanent inheritance tax in this country. And fourth, we will have not one but two generations of Americans making decisions about what they are going to do with their resources and whether they will contribute any bit of that to the long-term investment of their community. That becomes important to Anchorage because each and every one of you have to make a decision of whether you will make a philanthropic investment and whether you will become a philanthropist. You know, we met last night with Suzanne and the Anchorage Community Foundation board and some other leaders in that whole movement. And I shared with them, and I want to share with every one of you. When you listen to me talking, your first impression is without question, oh, that's nice for those people who have lots of money. But I'm an ordinary middle-income person. And what I'm here to break today is that myth that philanthropy is only for the Rockefellers, the Carnegies, and Bill and Melinda Gates. Philanthropy today has been democratized in a way never before in American history. And I'm not here to sell the Alaska Community Foundation, because that's not my job. But if you choose for $5,000, you can have a donor-advised fund at the Alaska Community Foundation, and you can become a philanthropist. And you can make a decision to have a strategic investment in the building of your community in whatever area you choose. Education, healthcare, arts and culture, medicine, sports and recreation, libraries, whatever you choose. You can make the difference between charity and philanthropy, and you can be a part of both. When history looks back at the first decade of the 21st century, despite the last year and a half, we will talk about the fact that philanthropy was noted by its three S's. It grew in size. Despite the last 18 months, philanthropy in 2005 was $550 billion in total foundation assets in the United States. Today, as of last Friday, it was $616 billion. Yeah, we lost, but we're already coming back up. We've regained through the markets $85 billion since January 1, or actually since March of this year. Now, the second thing that philanthropy is doing today, as Jeff told you, is it's engaged in service in ways that we never thought possible in the past. Philanthropy used to be just a charitable investment of the donor. Today, philanthropy is engaged in strategic change. I have a dear friend who used to be in Minneapolis who moved to the Silicon Valley, and he took over the largest merger of two community foundations in American history. And he gathered all of the nonprofits in the Silicon Valley together that had ever got funding from either one of those community foundations, and he said to them, he said, if you're here to see who I am and what I'm doing in hopes that we will continue to give as we've always given to you in the past, you're going to be really disappointed with my leadership. But if you're here because you want to partner with us in changing this community for the better, you and I are going to be positive partners for a long time. It's again understanding the difference between charity, which is a one-time gift of the heart, and philanthropy, which is a strategic investment in achieving real change. As I told you, I've been at the council for literally 4 years. During the 4 years that I was there, to show you the pace of change in philanthropy, when I got there, most foundations in this country did what they called competitive grant making. That is, they would invite grants on particular topics. And then they would look at all of the grant applications that came in, and they'd figure out which ones were the most competitive or creative or exciting or interesting, and they would make out grants in those areas. And they finally looked back at that and they said, you know, we've given away a lot of money and we have no specific outcomes to show for that. So we're not going to do that anymore. Led by Bill and Melinda Gates, but not in any way unique to them, but just because they were the biggest. All of a sudden, philanthropy said, we have to have strategic investment in social change. And Bill and Melinda Gates do not take grant applications. Some of you may have figured that out by trying. What they do is they made a decision that they were going to change or try to achieve change in two areas: high school education in the United States and global health around the world. And they have hired experts, some of the best experts in those two areas in the world, and they have strategically invested their money to create change. Now, again, I don't care whether you're liberal or conservative, Republican or Democrat, this is not about politics. We're now, during this 4-year period, in the third transformation of philanthropy in 4 years. And that is a significant increase in what we call public-private philanthropic partnerships. And that is a recognition that philanthropy by its very nature is meant to create innovation, take risk, to fail, and to find new solutions to old problems. What we have at the federal level with the president, and increasingly at the state level and the local level, is a request that philanthropy partner, whether it be on education reform, or it be in economic development, or it be on parks and recreation, or arts and culture, it is a partnership with the public and private sectors that we've never had in the past. So we look at the future, and we say, what does all of this mean for us? And that's the real point that I want to share with each and every one of you this afternoon. Because as I thought about Rotary, and I thought about investing in your community, I thought about philanthropy, and two quotations came to mind that I want to leave with you at the end. One of those comes from a gentleman by the name of J. William Miller. Most of you wouldn't know who he is, but he's made a lot of money off of Alaska because he created the Cummins diesel engine. And he took the wealth that he created from the Cummins diesel engine, and he created the Cummins Foundation in Indiana, which is his home. And he gathered his staff, and their first meeting with the new staff, and he said to them, here is the guide by which I want you to run this foundation. 10 years from now, what will you wish you had done today? Think of that. As a citizen of Anchorage, as a citizen of Alaska, as a citizen of the United States, as a citizen of this world, as a Rotarian, 10 years from now, what will you wish you had done today? And the other quote that I think is so compelling for us in 2009, with all of the challenges and all of the politics of polarization in America, is that beautiful African proverb. To go quickly, go alone. To go far, go together. Thank you very much.
Steve, that was a great presentation. You're an excellent communicator, and the audience was with you the whole time. You didn't lose anybody at all. So that was great. Okay, David, let's have our raffle drawing and the contest here.
Yeah, Steve, being a Green Bay Packer fan,
you got that right.
I will bet that if church was Monday night, you would have a hard time deciding which to go to.
Two pastors here, I'm not going to answer that
question. Steve, can you draw a ticket? We've got $382 in the pot, and the winning ticket gets to shoot an 8-foot putt to make half or all.
$382.
$382 in the pot, and the winning number is 952.
Oh, here we go, Steve.
Okay.
You have a choice now.
You can go for half the pot with the big cup, or you can take the small pot and go for the whole pot. Which one do you want to do? And there's $380 and $382.
Let's go to the big one.
Okay.
Okay.
There's your weapon.
See if those same people moan when he ends up winning $190.
No break.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, it looks a little crooked on the backswing.
Oh, if this were bowling, that would have been a gutter ball, Steve. Okay.
And the pot continues to grow.
Okay, we are adjourned. Let's have a board meeting up here really quickly. Thank you very much. Okay, board members up here really quick. We're going to take action in 1.5 minutes here. So all the board members right in front of the podium. All board members right here. And Cleo, good, you're here. Charlotte is coming up. Who else isn't here? Let's see. Michelle. We almost have enough. We need two more. Bob Schatz. We have Bob. And Suzanne, or Sue Foley. Okay, board members, I'm going to ask Bob Schatz, do you want to introduce the action you need?